a red crest logo with the white letters WB appears. Animation. A light shines through a spinning Batman logo. A silhouetted Batman throws a batarang. A silhouetted Superman raises his fist. A silhouetted Wonder Woman wields a whip and a shield. A silhouetted Aquaman creates circles in the water. A silhouetted Flash runs. A silhouetted Green Lantern holds a green lantern. We pull away to see the shadowy figures of the DC heroes. Superman stands in front. We zoom backwards to reveal the blue letters DC. Warner Brothers Animation presents. Title: Superman, Man of Tomorrow. Stars are scattered across a night sky. Two boys sit on a bed, watching a movie. The boy with brown hair eats popcorn and watches. The other boy, who has dark hair, looks glum.
I know what you are. You're not one of us.
What are you talking about? I look like everyone else.
No, I saw your files. You're...
an alien?
The scientist's face contorts. The boy with brown hair's eyes widen. The darker-haired boy watches his reaction, face tense. In the film, the woman lies on the floor. The alien takes her files and resumes looking human.
Aliens are scary. Aren't you glad they're not real?
The darker-haired boy is crying.
Mom!
Thanks for calling, Deb.
I mean, it wasn't even that scary.
He just gets a little jittery.
An older man with glasses smiles down. Later, the dark-haired boy rides with him in a pickup truck.
So, that movie really bothered you, huh?
The dark-haired boy doesn't look up.
You didn't say anything, did you?
The boy stares up at the sky, through the windshield. Later, the boy wears glasses. He fiddles with a strange pyramid object.
It's been days. It's not healthy.
It's a weak prescription. Anyway, you try taking them away.
Now he spends every waking minute trying to get that thing to work. Maybe we shouldn't have told him.
He lifted a tractor with one finger, Martha. He was gonna figure it out.
The boy pokes it.
I don't want him to feel different.
He is different, and it scares him, for good reason. Whoever put him in that ship had no idea or care for how dangerous a world they were sending him to. The more he knows, the more he can protect himself. And us.
The boy tries to pull it apart.
We are supposed to protect him, Jonathan. Not the other way around.
The boy hurls it, eyes squeezed shut. He cautiously looks. His eyes widen. He jumps to his feet. The small pyramid is glowing and hovering. It slowly drifts back down and goes dark. He removes his glasses. He smiles. We fade to an adult Clark Kent putting his glasses on. He ties a necktie.
Right over left.
His parents video chat.
Now right over
left. No, left over right. The image is flipped on this thing.
What? No, it isn't.
It's okay. I can manage. You both worry too much.
She holds a paper.
Shouldn't we?
I can't read that, Mom. You have to pull back from the...
She pulls it away from the camera.
Flying man of Metropolis spotted over South Side. That's the third story in 2 months.
Metropolis isn't Smallville. There are powerful people there who'd love nothing more than to get their hands on...
He looks away.
You. Please, be careful.
I will. I am. Now, I really do have to get to work. Everyone's counting on me. I'm a big part of the team covering today's launch.
Launch? Of what?
You'll read about it tomorrow on the Daily Planet. I love you. Bye.
He taps his phone. Outside, a shadowy man stands on a corner in a trench coat. He disappears. A tall rocket sits on a launch pad. The launch pad is just offshore. People are gathered outside a large, futuristic-looking building. Clark walks up, carrying a tray of coffees.
Coffee boy! Over here.
The man waves.
Here you go, Mr. Troop. Large skinny vanilla latte, no whip, and I hope you don't mind. I had them add a dash of cinnamon to the grinds. It really wakes it up.
Troop sips.
Now you know you don't have to call me Mr. Troop.
And you don't actually have to call
me... Coffee boy, get a move on.
Excuse me.
Clark moves through the crowd with his tray of coffees. Reporters wave microphones as Lex Luthor takes the podium.
Today is a great day for Metropolis, and indeed the planet. With any luck, we'll soon have answered the age-old question, are we alone in the universe? The good people at Star Labs are about to launch the most sophisticated orbital telescope the world has ever seen. And it's all happening via a two-stage, liquid-fueled launch vehicle built by none other than LexCorp.
He points at the rocket.
I'll only be taking one question from the young woman in the back. Hello, Lois.
The woman with short dark hair steps forward.
Lois Lane, for those that don't know, is the recipient of the Luthor Journalism Scholarship. Haven't heard from you in months, Lois. Studies keeping you busy?
I've definitely learned a lot. Like how you built that rocket with funds you received from a rather hefty government contract.
This president knows a good investment when he sees it.
Does he know fraud when he sees it? Gross negligence.
She holds up her phone.
Not the question I expected, Lois.
That's how business is done. I practically sat him in the Oval Office myself. He owes me. More champagne? Legally, it's opaque. So you set up a $10 million space program that the feds underwrite to the tune of $6 billion and keep...
A nearby woman in uniform breaks it.
But who knows? They might fly, and anyone moronic enough to live close to a launch site deserves to be hit by fiery debris. I have copies, Lex.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the champagne, at least.
They glare at each other.
One at a time, please. One at a time.
Clark sees a man with a broom.
Looks like you could use this more than me.
Oh, a lifesaver. Early shift. That cinnamon really wakes it up.
Yeah, I think so too.
Shouldn't you be part of this feeding frenzy?
No. Well, yes, but no.
Well, glad we cleared that up.
Well, I mean, I'm not a reporter. Not yet, anyway. Just an intern.
How does an intern become a reporter?
With a scoop like that.
The rocket launches into the sky in a billow of smoke. Lex turns to Lois and raises an eyebrow.
That's nothing. I've seen stuff in there. Experiments. Bizarre weapons. Containment cells. All designed to neutralize the kind of weird powers you read about these days. Super speed, strength, all that alien stuff. It's like we're preparing for something. Yes, me. I'd say somebody already knows we're not alone in the universe.
Clark views the lower level of the building with his X-ray vision.
Can you get me inside?
Hell of a scoop, huh? But no, I gotta work. McKaylee's in first grade. We got another on the way. If my name came out,
I protect my people.
I think you're the one that might need protecting.
The man in a trench coat.
Two tours in Iraq. I know a shadow when I see it. Someone's interested in you, kid. I'd watch your back.
Clark frowns. The man, whose name tag reads Jones, walks away. Pieces of the rocket break off in flames.
Look! Up in the sky!
The rocket arcs back towards the ground, leaving a trail of smoke behind.
Whoa. Hey, maybe we should...
Clark is gone.
Is that supposed to be...
Lex gapes, wide-eyed.
Damn.
Lex starts to run. He's cuffed by two police officers.
You gotta be kidding me.
A figure streaks through the sky towards the rocket. Clark pushes against the nose of the rocket. He's in a dark jacket and goggles. He eases it back up, cringing with effort. Lois and the handcuffed Lex watch the rocket move horizontally and then upwards. Clark reaches the upper atmosphere and hurls the rocket. It reaches space and heads towards the sun. In space, Clark's eyes widen. He looks down at himself as he hovers above the Earth. He stares at his hands, which glow yellow. He holds his hand up to the sun. He grins as his body is bathed in a golden light. He drifts back towards Earth. Later, at the Daily Planet, Clark holds a newspaper. He reads Crooked Lex gets 15 years. He frowns as he notices a smaller headline. Flying Man. Hero or menace? Perry White yells.
Eyes up here! Everybody, come on!
The staff turn.
I know I don't say it very often, but I am always, always looking out for you. We're a team. That's why I'm showing you what a real reporter looks like. Maybe knock some sense into some of the more worthless of you.
Clark frowns.
Anyway, meet the newest addition to the team, the grad student who took down a billionaire genius, an actual talent, Lois Lane.
Lois steps forward, face strained.
Grad student?
The staff disperses, leaving only Clark.
See? Now they hate you. That couldn't have gone better.
Lois's face falls. She turns and notices Clark. He's smiling. His eyes widen in embarrassment. He bumps into a table of papers, scattering them. He picks them up and walks away. Lois stares after him. Later, she's crouched beside a copy machine. Clark enters the copy room.
Miss Lane?
Don't worry, it's under control.
She punches the copier. It spits out paper.
There. Lois, by the way. Just Lois.
Cool. Just Lois.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Clark. I'm Clark Kent. Daily Planet.
No kidding.
Right. Sorry. I was there at Star Labs. I saw what you did. It was amazing.
Well, that creep had it coming.
Can I just... How did you do it? I mean, I know the champagne.
It wasn't like that, trust me.
She glares.
People with that much power think they wield it over everyone. If you can take that away from them for a moment, you can take it away for good. It's called a power move. And I don't want to brag, but it's kind of my specialty. Well, that and paper jams. Any other questions? If you're going to be a reporter, kid, you got to ask all the questions.
It's just, what do you do now? You've already taken down the most powerful man in the world.
She turns.
Have I? Have a nice weekend, coffee boy.
Lois, you left your...
A photo of Clark with a rocket. A post-it reads Superman. Another photo shows Batman and reads Cool Cape. Clark ties his blanket to his neck like a cape. He looks at himself in the mirror. He's wearing his black jacket and goggles.
All right.
Breaking news. An unidentified object heading towards Earth was detected by Star Labs. Stay tuned for updates.
In a large control room, people in lab coats stare at a large screen. Jones is nearby, cleaning. He walks up. A red dot arcs towards the Earth. A ball of fire streaks into the atmosphere. Jones's eyes widen. Clark puts his goggles on and bullets through his open window, leaving the blanket cape behind. He flies towards the ball of fire. He glares at it as it rockets towards him. He balls his fists. It's a large, pale man with a beard, riding a flying motorcycle. His eyes glow red. A cigar is clenched in his teeth. Cameras are pointed at the two figures. The man in the black trench coat looks up at the sky.
Why are you here?
The pale man takes a drag.
Why are you here, Kryptonian?
What did you say?
Of course I never heard of no flying Kryptonian, but whatevs.
He hurls a hook chain at Clark, wrapping it around his arm. Clark swings him around. Clark throws him. He flies through the air, falling through the roof of a building. The pale man looks up, watching Clark through the hole. He whistles. His bike flies to him. The hovering vehicle streaks towards him, through the hole. He gets back on.
Guess we're doing this the fun way.
He pumps the handlebars and flies up to Clark. He pulls out a gun and shoots a beam of red light. Clark dodges, but another shot hits. He hurtles through the air. More shots streak past him. He regains balance. He flies. The pale man chases him. The pale man pulls out a weapon resembling a rifle. He fires a bunch of slug creatures. Clark bats them out of the way. They stick to his body, electrocuting him.
Don't struggle now. You'll just make them vengeful.
The pale man takes out another cigar. Clark removes his goggles, eyes turning red. He shoots the slugs with his heat vision. The pale man holds up a large, pronged weapon. Clark slams him into a building. People dodge falling debris. Clark floats down to the pale man.
This planet is protected, alien.
Alien? They ain't got mirrors on this dump. You're as alien as they come around here, Kryptonian.
Kryptonian? I'm a Kryptonian.
He pulls out another cigar.
You're the Kryptonian. Last one in the universe tucked away in Sector 2814. You got an awful big bounty on that stupid-looking head of yours.
You're here for me. So I guess that means you have to bring me in alive, bounty hunter.
The pale man lights his cigar.
Name's Lobo. And...
he kicks a strange electronic puck towards him.
Nah.
Clark is engulfed in flame.
Mess with the main man, and you get the...
Clark looks up, clothes smoldering.
Well, frag the shit out of me.
Lobo hurls his cigar. He picks up a machine gun. The bullets bounce off of Clark. Clark punches it out of his hands.
You sure you're from Krypton?
I'm from Kansas.
Well, something about Kansas made you strong. Weird strong.
They punch each other. Lobo kicks him. Clark slides several feet. Lobo leaps over.
I like it.
He hurls Clark into a wall. Clark tumbles in a pile of rubble. Lobo runs at him, swinging a chain. Clark leaps forward, punching him to the other side of the room. He punches Lobo into the floor. Lobo backhands him. He gets the chains around Clark's wrists and calls for his hoverbike. The bike hits Clark, who tumbles out of the building and through the air. Clark shatters the chains. Lobo sits on his bike on the roof of a building opposite Clark. Clark turns and looks into the distance towards Star Labs. He flies off towards it. Lobo follows. In the control room.
It appears the flying man is headed toward the bay. Perhaps he's had enough and is in retreat. Perhaps he's trying to move the fight to safer ground.
Jones's brow furrows. Lobo leaps from his hoverbike, tackling Clark. Jones turns.
They're coming here. Go! Go! Move!
They crash through the window into the control room, shattering equipment. Jones waves people on. Lobo hoists Clark into the air and slams him to the ground. People run away as the floor crumbles. Jones slips and falls to the floor below. He stirs in the rubble. Clark tumbles by in the air. Lobo runs after him. Clark shoots his heat vision, pushing Lobo backwards. Jones watches. Lobo gets up. He pulls out a glowing purple device.
I wonder. Can you see in the dark?
Lobo throws it. It explodes. Clark flies out. Inside the building, an enormous mass of purple slime crawls over everything. Jones turns. It encompasses him. His eyes go wide. It pours down his throat and creeps up his arms. In the parking lot, scientists run. Clark turns. On the floor below, the large purple blob has engulfed Jones. Clark flies over and looks down through the hole in the floor. Lobo punches him. He flies through a nearby wall. Lobo walks to the hole in the wall. Clark appears, punching him. He grabs his leg and spins him around, throwing him. Lobo hits the parking lot. Clark shoots his heat vision beams. Clark knees Lobo in the head and punches him. He grabs Lobo's hair and slams his face into the pavement, shattering it. He throws Lobo into the air, punching him. Multiple news vans arrive at the facility. People point video cameras. Lois Lane gets out. Clark flies towards Lobo. He kicks Lobo in the face. Lobo speeds towards the atmosphere, nose bleeding. Clark watches him go. He flies back toward the ground. The watching crowd applauds. He lands. Lois folds her arms. The man in the trench coat is here. He stares at Clark, wearing sunglasses. A ball of fire hurtles towards them. It's Lobo.
Get back!
They scatter. Clark launches into the air. Lobo punches Clark to the ground, sending a shockwave through the parking lot. Clark lies at the bottom of a large crater. Lobo is on top of him wearing a glowing green ring.
Purdy, ain't it? You know, I'm not one for poetry, but seeing how it was Krypton itself killed your people, it's only right this ring carved from the remains of that doomed rock should be the thing to mess you up.
He punches Clark in the face. Clark's face is bruised and bloody. He grabs Clark by the neck and holds him in the air. A pair of green tendrils grab Lobo from behind and hurl him many feet away. It's a tall, gangly green creature with a slitted nose. He floats forward.
What is that
what
thing?
God,
do you see that? Let's get out of here!
Tell me you're rolling! Roll tape! Roll tape!
Well, how about this? A goddamn Martian!
Lobo fire two laser pistols at the Martian. The Martian shimmers as the laser bolts pass through him. The Martian crouches down, leaping. Lobo lunges at him, but the Martian dodges, seemingly turning to liquid. Clark lays, twitching. He turns and looks at the sun. He gets to his feet. He smiles. Lobo slashes at the Martian with his chain, but the Martian disappears and reappears elsewhere. Clark flies from the crater towards the sun. Lobo throws a grenade at the feet of the Martian. He flies through the air. He tackles him. They tumble into the crater. Clark flies high above the Earth, facing the sun. Clark is once again bathed in a glowing light. His wounds disappear. He flies back down to Earth. A scientist points. Lois turns.
Look!
Lobo and the Martian look up to see Clark flying towards them, clothes burning off. The Martian disappears in a shimmer. Lobo braces himself. He looks up to see a naked Clark hovering over him, upside down.
You were right. This was the fun way.
He punches Lobo. A shockwave widens the crater. Lois Lane gapes. Clark emerges from the crater, holding Lobo, who dangles lifelessly. He's still naked. Lois raises an eyebrow. Clark smiles. Later, at the Daily Planet.
Great Caesar's ghost! It's been days, people, days! I may be the managing editor, but I'm also a Daily Planet subscriber. I read the damn thing every day. Hell, I read it the night before every day, and I still don't know where are the aliens from, what do they want with us, and what are their weaknesses, if any?
Chief, maybe if we...
Are you talking or am I talking?
You're talking.
Damn Skippy! And yes, Troop, we got a little carried away with coverage of the flying man.
The Superman.
Write it all you want, Lois. It's never gonna catch on. Listen up! The flying man is no longer the story. I want aliens! Everybody stop whatever you're doing and get me copy about the aliens. Well, that's it. Get back to work!
They sit at their desks. Clark trails after Lois.
Speaking of the Superman, though I think Perry's right, by the way, it's never going to catch on. Didn't you have an interview scheduled, like, 5 minutes ago?
Oh, Clark, so innocent. I'm not going to that. See, right now, the Superman is waiting for me up there on the roof, getting more and more impatient.
Ah, it's a power move.
It's a power move. Eventually, he'll give up, and if he's the egomaniac I think he is, he will beg me to reschedule.
They get in the elevator.
And when you do...
Big, brave, strong man will be putty in my hands. He'll answer anything. Where do you come from? Do you report to some kind of leader?
It sounds like you think he's...
Another alien? He flies and can push rockets. Of course he is.
But, what if he denies it?
Then he's fallen right into my trap. See, by then, I'll have gotten the real truth from my interview with the loud, hairy one.
Wait, you're interviewing Lobo? Isn't he locked up at Star Labs?
He knows Superman. He wants to take him down, but now he's behind bars. Lucky for Lobo, I'm not.
So that's it. You took down Luthor, and now you're doing an exposé on the Flying Man?
No.
She brushes past.
I'm winning a Pulitzer for my revelatory takedown of the alien who calls himself the Superman.
He doesn't call himself that.
At the farm, Clark sits at the table as Martha pours coffee. They watch TV.
Not Flying Man, not Superman, not Clark. Certainly not Kryptonian. It's everything you warned me about. They meet someone from the stars, and their first instinct is to fire at will.
They love you.
Martha smiles at him. He frowns.
They don't know me.
He heats his coffee.
And I'm afraid that when they do...
Maybe you're what they need. If they knew about you, maybe they'd see things differently.
Or maybe the government will lock him up.
or worse.
At some point, they're going to ask me where I'm from and why I was sent here. And I won't have the answers. And in the meantime, one way or another, Lois is going to publish her expose.
He picks up the small pyramid.
You know what we're going to say? What we've always said. The world is dangerous and unforgiving. If you're different, special, you have two options. You can either
meet it head on and accept the consequences, or you can keep your head down and accept the consequences. There's no wrong choice, but...
You have to make one.
Why?
Because you're not our little boy anymore. Becoming a man means making these choices for yourself. Just be ready. Because each choice, each action, has a consequence.
At a hospital, a woman and a small child sit in a large waiting room. A doctor walks by. They run to her.
Excuse me. Do we know?
Nothing yet.
Is Daddy gonna be okay?
Jones lies on an operating table surrounded by doctors. A surgeon cuts into him with a scalpel.
Here we go.
She reaches into his abdomen.
Half the liver, one kidney, the spleen. Every day another organ fails. What the hell happened to this guy?
I'm gonna close him back up.
Jones grabs her wrist. His hand glows.
Code Black! Call him in! Go!
With his other arm, he throws a doctor across the room, hitting two others. He grabs a doctor's face with his hand. The two doctors shrivel into a mummified state and fall to the floor. Jones staggers across the room, his pale body covered in crisscrossing purple veins. He grabs a coat. He walks into the hall. His scalpel wound closes up. His eyes are purple and blotchy. He passes the woman and child in the waiting room. Clark and his parents drive.
I know it's not for good, but sure is nice having you here helping out, Clark.
Pa, I can help any time. Takes me less than 10 minutes to get here from the city. You just have to let me know when...
Clark?
Stop the truck.
As they pull into the driveway, the man in the trench coat and sunglasses is here. Jonathan gets out of the truck.
Evening, stranger.
I've come for your son.
Martha walks up.
Our son isn't here.
Something we can do for you?
You can tell me where he is.
Sir, unless you want to show us some credentials, I think we're done here.
The man strides forward.
Martha, get behind me.
I'm sorry.
The man's eyes glow.
Sorry for...
Jonathan freezes.
Jonathan? What's happening? What are you doing to him?
The man walks forward and holds out his hand. Clark leaps towards him, but he dodges. Clark lands and rolls to his feet. The man has vanished.
Get inside, lock the doors.
He springs high into the air, searching the area. He flies around to the backside of the farm. He uses his X-ray vision to search the house and barn. His eyes sweep the area. He flies around, looking. The man appears behind him.
You another bounty hunter?
The man dodges Clark. He disappears and reappears. The man blocks Clark's punch with a hand.
I am no bounty hunter. My name is John.
He's the Martian.
And I only wish to speak with you.
He turns into a tall green man wearing a blue cape. At a pharmacy in Metropolis.
Call me when you need the refill. Next.
Jones staggers into the pharmacy. His feet are bare. He leans on the counter.
Did someone call in a prescription for you, sir?
Pain. I have so much...
Sir, you don't look...
Drugs!
I'm sorry, without a prescription, I can't help you. But there is a clinic nearby where you can get detoxed.
I need to get home.
Jones grabs him by the throat. The man slowly shrivels.
I need a post-surgical analgesic. Fentanyl.
I need fentanyl.
He leaps behind the counter, grabbing bottles. Customers approach, seeing the pharmacist's body. Jones glances at himself in a mirror. He smashes the mirror. Others run and he chases them, disappearing from view. At the Kent house.
I apologize for frightening you earlier. Are you...
I'm fine. Just don't get in my head again, okay?
I'm sure you boys have a lot to talk about. Clark, if John is staying over, there are sheets in the hall cupboard, and...
We're fine, Ma. Good night.
Clark picks up his cup of tea. He turns to John.
I thought Martians only existed in the movies.
Those movies are terrible.
Thank you for Star Labs. You saved my life.
John's eyes narrow.
I should never have revealed my natural form.
Why did you? I mean, if you can disguise yourself...
To distract Lobo. He came for the last Kryptonian. I offered him something of equal value.
You're the last. You're like me.
Clark removes his glasses and sets them on the table.
It was a foolish miscalculation. This world wasn't ready.
Ready or not, Lobo came to us. That's when everything changed.
Nevertheless, I will be reverting to human form and maintaining a low profile for the foreseeable future. I advise you to do the same. If we remain hidden, we live.
Doesn't sound like much of a life.
Perhaps not. But as the last survivors of our people, is self-preservation not our chief responsibility?
Clark looks away.
I have seen firsthand how rampant xenophobia can destroy a great civilization. If humanity is to have a chance to thrive, we mustn't further stoke its fears.
He looks at the small pyramid.
I don't think anything can stop that now. The Daily Planet is about to publish the truth about me.
Then we must stop them.
John, this world is beginning to see me as some sort of champion. What if knowing the truth about me is what turns this around, makes people see things differently?
John's eyes narrow. He looks away. He smirks.
You are an optimist, Kal-El. Like your father.
Kal-El?
Forgive me. When I first became aware that you possess abilities similar to my own, I assumed... Hoped you were Martian. I attempted a telepathic link between our minds, and in doing so, I inadvertently accessed your memories of Krypton.
I have no memories of Krypton.
You were only an infant.
John picks up the small pyramid and enters a code. It lights up. It splits apart to reveal an S logo. Light pours from it.
I've never been able to make this thing work.
Two figures in an image appear. Clark's face falls. They're holding a baby.
Is that...
Your parents. I was able to pick up some Kryptonian from your memories of them. I could teach you and help you access those memories. But you should know that the last thing your mother ever said to you was that to dwell in the past is to lose one's path.
Clark watches the image of baby Clark being placed in the pod. John turns it off.
You have a weighty decision to make. I'll leave you to it.
Clark follows John onto the porch.
Wait. How will I find you?
Just listen.
John speaks without moving his lips. He turns and flies off into the night sky, disappearing in a shimmer. Dawn breaks over the Kent farm. Clark sits outside, viewing a holographic projection of Krypton from the small pyramid. Martha steps outside.
Have you been up all night?
Yeah, pretty much.
She holds out a coffee. He takes it.
Thank you.
24 years collecting dust, and your new friend gets it working in one try. So what is it?
I don't know, some kind of historical record? I've barely scratched the surface. It was incredible, Ma. I can't believe I'll never get to see it.
Maybe you will. I'm beginning to think you can do almost anything, go anywhere. Only...
What?
You can go anywhere, but as all those photos posted all over the world show, your clothes can't.
He opens the box. It's a blue outfit with a red S.
Did you make this?
From the only fabric I know that's been to outer space. You were swaddled in it when we found you. Otherwise, I just copy the design of that nice Batman I always see at the papers in the checkout.
He looks at the red cape.
You even did the cape.
Now, I don't know if it'll hold up to the stress you'll put it through, but we went through 16 bandsaw blades just to cut the fabric, so... What do you think?
I think you're saying you want me to tell the world who I really am.
No, I'm saying we are not buying you any more nice clothes to destroy.
They smile at each other.
I love it, Ma. Thank you.
He kisses her on the forehead. Jonathan's truck pulls in the driveway.
It's out!
He holds up a newspaper. Clark takes it. The headline reads, Who is the Superman? Part 1 of Lois Lane's bombshell expose.
Well?
It's only part 1. She's teasing something big, but won't say what until she interviews Lobo. I have to get back to Metropolis. Maybe I can get her to put the brakes on while I figure out what to do.
What about your laundry?
I'll get it later. Love the suit. Especially the cape.
Clark flies away.
You added a cape?
I think it looks cool.
At Star Labs, Lois is with Lobo. She sits facing him with a notepad.
Stop it!
Don't like that one. How about this?
I met an old female in heat.
Stop! Oh my god! What is wrong with you?
She covers her ears.
Why don't I show ya? Come on, girly.
He sticks out his tongue, walking forward. Electricity crackles as he hits a force field. He flies backwards, slumping to the floor.
Good for you.
Last question. You told me he's the only one of his people here on Earth. Are there more on the way?
Kryptonians? Yeah, they're on their way all right. A whole army coming just for him. And those bloodthirsty sons of bitches don't care who they gotta liquefy to get him.
She gapes.
Nah. Just kidding. They're all dead. You should have seen the look on your face, though. Classic!
Lois scowls. A gray, veined hand swipes a card. Access granted.
And then some of this, and some of that. And then I'll give you a little bit of wham, bam, boom.
All right, that's enough. That's enough.
That wasn't even half the Appalachian mating dance.
Lois strides to the door.
We're done here. Open up.
She peers through the small window.
What on earth?
A tall, grayish figure with purple veins appears. He breaks down the door. It's Jones's mutated form.
Maybe you should run along now, sweetie bits.
Lois glares at Lobo. She takes a picture of him with her phone. He runs forward. He takes 6 shots to the back. She looks up. 2 soldiers stand with guns trained. His eyes open. He jumps to his feet. They shoot. He falls forward. He grabs one of them by the wrist, quickly shriveling him to a mummified figure. The wounds in his back quickly close up. The other soldier gapes. He runs. Jones turns and leaps towards him. They struggle. He grabs his neck. Lois is recording. She runs and hides. The struggling man quickly goes limp. Jones drops him down a hole. Jones stares at the shrunken figure. He clasps his head. He turns to Lobo.
You did this?
Hey man, I just work here.
What's happening to me?
Jones slams his hands into the force field. His hands glow. Lobo backs away. The force field crackles. Lois is still recording. She gapes. Jones's hands glow. His head lengthens. His veins glow purple. Spikes grow on his back. Glass shatters. He's turned into a giant purple monster. He slumps to the ground. The monster lies face down. Lobo looks.
Okay then.
Lobo stalks off, past a gaping Lois.
Now where'd those assholes put my bike?
The monster struggles upright. Lois watches. His legs end on sharp points rather than feet. He clasps the wall with his front claws, ripping holes in it. Lois holds out her phone from her hiding spot. She drops it. She ducks back. The debris she's hiding behind is pulled away.
Are you right, Miss Lane?
Superman throws it. He holds out his hand.
I think so.
Paramedics are on their way. But I have to go after him.
He turns.
Superman?
You're right about my origins, Lois. But not my intentions. Please don't run your story. I should be the one to tell the world.
They stare at each other. She cocks an eyebrow. She smiles.
First, you have to save it.
We're overdue for that interview. Maybe when this is over.
I'll be there. No games, I promise.
He flies off.
And Superman! Don't let him touch you!
The monster rips open a car. He touches the battery. Purple lines shoot up his arm. He watches a subway train pass. In the front of the train, the operator reads a newspaper. He turns. The monster's on the roof. His jaw drops. The train shudders to a stop. Passengers look up to find the monster has ripped a hole in the roof. He leers down at them.
Let them go!
He turns. Superman floats nearby. He barrels towards him. He leaps, passing straight through him and into a building. It's John. Superman arrives.
Nice work. Now let's get these people to safety before...
John points. The monster pushes himself out of the rubble.
Go. I'll try to hold him back.
The monster leaps back out of the building and into the parking lot. He looks up. He dodges a falling transport truck.
So much power.
He leaps at Superman, sending him backwards. He runs at him. Superman shoots him with his heat vision. The monster holds up his arms. His hands glow red and his veins light up. Superman shoots the pavement instead, sending up a pile that blocks the monster's way.
How we doing, John?
John cradles a figure. The monster leaps on top of Superman. He straddles him, covering Superman's face with his hand. Superman's eyes widen as the monster's hands glow.
You
The spikes reemerge on his back.
Kent. The intern. Or is it Kal-El?
The monster places his other hand around Superman's neck. John tackles the monster.
No! Don't touch him!
They land. John punches forward. The monster grabs his fist. His hand lights up.
John Jones, Manhunter.
The monster grabs John's other fist. Superman watches.
Stop this. Please.
No! No, please!
Red beams erupt from the monster's eyes, lighting John on fire. John is engulfed in flame. The flames reach John's arms and the monster lets go. John slumps into a flaming heap. The monster watches. The faint outline of a skeleton glows within the flames. The monster backs away from the flames. He shimmers and disappears. Superman labors to breathe. Later at his apartment, Clark rolls over in bed. He sits up, taking a glass of water from his nightstand. He furrows his brow. His eyes turn red. Bubbles form in the glass. It glows pink. He clenches his teeth. He holds his head. He throws the glass. He stares at his bleeding palm.
Clark! Hey, Clark!
Lois kicks it open.
Clark!
It was unlocked.
What happened?
I broke the glass.
No kidding. I mean, what were you doing in the middle of the attack yesterday?
How'd you know?
You gave a statement to the police. You know, Clark, there are much easier ways to get the story.
There are?
No. Actually, running in there was exactly what I should have done.
Why are you here?
Perry read the police report and asked me to check on you. Actually, he ordered me to fire you for not showing up today, but I think I got the translation right.
She bandages his hand. They stare at each other. He smiles.
Well, did you see him in action?
Clark frowns.
Who?
The Superman.
Oh, yeah. And the Martian Manhunter.
The Martian Manhunter? That's terrible. But it's your story, so...
It burned him alive, Lois. That parasite thing. I can still hear the screams.
He puts his face in his hand.
And the Superman?
Clark stares at his bandaged palm.
I think he's dead, too.
Clark hangs his head. Lois stares off.
Lois, this job...
Not what you expected?
It's so much harder, this whole story. I'd only just gotten started, and now I think I may have lost it. Maybe for good.
Clark, you've chosen a job that can put you face to face with some pretty bad stuff. You try and make a difference and fight for truth, justice, and sometimes you get smacked down, but let me tell you, Clark Kent, if this is what you want, if it's who you are, then you have to do it. But this job takes guts, it takes risk. And maybe one of those risks is, when you feel overwhelmed, to open yourself up and ask someone smarter than you for help.
His brow furrows.
Someone smarter than me.
I bet they're closer than you think.
A paper reads Lex Luthor sentenced.
You're totally right.
Perfect. First, give me your source.
She grabs a notepad.
Lois, did you come here to steal my story?
What? No! No!
She puts it back.
I thought that we would share it.
You know what? Thanks for coming, Lois. Really, thank you. Tell Perry he can't fire me because I quit. For now. Sorry, I gotta go.
What? Where?
To talk to someone smart.
I was gonna split the byline.
Clark stares forlornly at the box containing his Superman suit. At a large, glowing pyramid-like structure, Lex Luthor is led by two prison guards down a hallway. They lead him into a room where Superman is waiting for him. Lex raises an eyebrow.
Is it still Halloween?
Superman frowns.
No. Let's just say it's more practical than cargos and aviator caps.
Uh-huh. And what's the S for?
Superman.
Right. Well, Superman, what's this about?
I need your help.
I've seen you in action, Flyboy. You're as powerful as a locomotive.
More. Usually.
So how could I possibly help you?
I need to get into space. Fast.
Not the most practical getaway plan. The sun. It's like a power source for you, isn't it? And if you need help getting closer to it, that means you're powerless. Interesting.
You've seen the news reports. This creature, this parasite. It killed my friend. Now everyone's in danger, and I can't stop it. Not like this. Can you help me?
Of course I can, but...
How much do you want?
Money? I have money. No, I don't want anything but to help. It can only look good to the parole board. But I can't help you from in here. I have to get out.
That's not going to happen, Luthor.
Relax. I can get a day pass.
He smirks.
A day pass? That's not even a thing.
Wanna bet?
Elsewhere, a subway train passes. The pregnant woman from the hospital clears a kitchen table. She stares at a mug labeled Number One Dad.
Kaylee! Breakfast!
I can't find my shoe, Mommy.
She walks off. The parasite monster shimmers into the room. He stares at the mug and a child's drawing. He accidentally knocks it over. His face falls. He looks up to see Kaylee staring. Parasite shimmers away.
Kaylee, what's wrong?
Parasite hangs on the side of the building, staring into the window. He leaps away. A night sky glitters down on a gleaming, angular green office building. They enter a lab lit with green lights. It contains a large computer and a mechanized suit.
It's good to be home.
You live here?
Practically.
They approach the massive green monitor.
So this parasite zaps your powers, now you're a filthy mortal like the rest of us. Do I have it?
Something like that. I still have my abilities, but they're very weak. Some more than others.
It may be slow going, but you'll return to full strength.
Lex sits at his desk.
Eventually.
There's no time. I need a jump start. Can you shoot me into orbit or not?
I'm not launching you into space.
Why not?
Because you are right now a fragile egg, untrained and unprepared for the grueling reality of spaceflight. Unless your secret identity is an astronaut.
Superman frowns.
Didn't think so. Anyway, don't worry. I have a plan.
Lex pulls up footage of the explosion and the mass of purple slime engulfing Jones.
This is from Star Labs. How did you get this?
Yep. There's your problem.
The janitor.
That grenade was an organic EMP designed to absorb all the power it comes in contact with. It's almost like it melded with the janitor's DNA and turned him into some kind of energy vampire. It takes everything.
How do you fight something like that?
I just told you, it takes everything. It's like buying a company. When you absorb the assets, you also absorb the vulnerabilities. If we can employ those, we can defeat it. So, what are Superman's weaknesses?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I ever had any.
I wasn't talking to you.
Lobo enters carrying a bottle of whiskey.
Lobo. Even on the inside, I like to keep close tabs on all the happenings about town. Once the Zarnian here was liberated from the cell you put him in at Star Labs...
Thanks for that, by the way.
It was an easy matter for one of my surrogates to track down the bounty hunter and cut a deal.
A deal?
You might say I bought the company. Lobo is now my asset. Or vulnerability. Time will tell.
Lobo flips the bird.
The ring. Carved from irradiated remains of Krypton. I don't know how or why, but it weakened me. A lot.
Lobo tosses the ring to Lex, who peers at it.
That's what we use to fight off the superpowered parasite.
Lex places it in a green beam of light. It floats.
Extraordinary amount of radiation for something so minuscule. Harmless to humans, but having absorbed your powers, this might work.
He views an industrial complex.
We just need to get its attention.
Lobo and Superman stand in the street, next to Lex's limo.
Something I like about this place.
This plant powers the entire city. Where is everybody?
I called in a bomb threat before we left.
You shouldn't lie about bombs.
Lobo opens his vest.
I didn't.
It's full of red glowing sticks. Superman frowns. Lights all over the metropolis skyline flicker off. The small island containing the power plant glows bright yellow. The street lights burn brighter.
Looks like Lex was able to boost the output. Now we wait.
Lobo lights a cigar. Superman and Lobo watch the water. Parasite erupts from it, now many feet tall.
Wait's over. It's ass-whooping time.
Lobo's wearing the ring. Superman floats. Lex watches from a distance. He runs. He catches up with him.
Here we go.
Feeling any stronger?
Let's see.
Superman flies closer to Parasite. He shoots Parasite with his heat vision. Parasite's chest glows red. He opens his mouth, sending a massive pulse that sends Superman tumbling backwards.
Well? Am I paying you to stand around?
Yeah, don't get your panties in a twist.
Lobo runs forward. He leaps towards the water, landing on his flying motorcycle. As he gets closer, he leaps from it and punches Parasite. He lands back on the bike. He loops around, flying above him, and jumps out. He lands on Parasite's head. He punches him repeatedly with the ring. Parasite flinches slightly.
Don't dare, damn it!
Back on the ground, Superman lands beside Lex.
The ring. It's not working.
It looks like there's a limit to how long the parasite can retain your power. And weakness.
Lobo jumps. Parasite grabs him. Lobo hits a detonator button. The two of them are engulfed in a giant explosion. It sends a shockwave and flaming debris into the water. Superman and Lex brace themselves. They look up as the smoke clears. The colossal figure of Parasite emerges from the smoke.
No.
Attack helicopters surround him. He swats one out of the air, sending it flying into others. Two jets appear. One launches a missile. It hits Parasite in the head, exploding. Parasite's purple veins light up. His spikes grow bigger.
They have to hold their fire. It's only making him stronger.
I'll make a call, but we need Lobo's ring. If this thing absorbs all the power from the plant, it'll become too strong to take down.
Then he can't make it to the plant.
What are you gonna do?
Parasite's body expands in size, growing taller. He throws his arms out.
Give him a weakness.
Hey! Want some more? I'm right here!
Superman is now only the height of Parasite's ankles. Parasite breathes a stream of purple fire. Superman flies. He chases after him. Superman dodges fireballs. He flies around Parasite's head. Lobo's hand grips a rock. It's his severed arm. Lex runs up to it, grabbing the ring. It's covered in blood. Lobo's arm slides off the rock and into the water, surrounded by blood, which slowly contracts. In the Daily Planet newsroom, staff are frantically making phone calls. Troop yells into his cell phone.
Troop! T-R-O... I'm still holding for the Pentagon.
Lois grabs it.
That's 45 minutes on hold, Lane! I was almost through!
City's on lockdown. We're not allowed to leave the building. But...
Yeah?
Story's out there.
Parasite continues to breathe purple fire at a dodging Superman. He shoots a roof that Superman lands on just after he darts away. He shoots a trench in the street towards him. Superman stares up at him.
Need more power? Well, come and get it!
Superman flies. Parasite grabs him in his massive fist. Parasite's hand glows and his veins light up. More massive spikes grow on his back.
Lex!
See, here's my problem. The Parasite is very powerful, but the Superman is also very powerful.
Lex! Now!
Right now, the man with the ring is the most powerful of all. So which is the bigger threat?
Lex places the ring in a large gun that he's holding.
The simple janitor transformed into a monster by futuristic tech? Or the super-powered alien? Lying to humanity, masquerading as one of us.
Parasite stomps towards Lex.
Oh, hell. I'll just make you both my slaves.
A glowing green beam shoots from the gun, bathing Parasite in a green glow. He drops Superman. Parasite falls to the ground, spraying dust everywhere. Superman stands up, holding his head. He's hit with the kryptonite beam. Lex strides forward.
Magnifying pulse rifle. LexCorp security issue. Pretty sweet, huh?
As it powers up, John materializes and throws Lex to the ground. He grabs the gun. He places a boot on Lex. He snaps the gun in half.
Are you all right?
Superman stands up.
But the Parasite, I saw it kill you.
You saw what I wanted it to see.
Parasite pushes himself up from the ground. A man sees the plume of smoke as he drives. He accidentally runs into somebody. Cars are backed up on a bridge.
Those people are in grave danger.
Parasite crushes nearby buildings as he staggers. Superman grabs the ring. He sinks to his knees, dropping it.
That ring will kill you.
I don't know any other way.
Lex scoops it up and runs off.
Find one.
Superman closes his eyes for a moment. He flies away. Parasite strides from the island into the water. He walks towards the bridge jammed with onlookers. Troop and Lois are there.
Choppers are grounded, TV crews can't get in.
Lois stares at her phone. Elsewhere, Lex runs around a corner, pausing. John emerges from a wall, grabbing him. Onlookers shout as Parasite strides through the water. Superman floats nearby. He looks at them. Lois is recording.
Lois Lane, live at the scene. We're on foot and we have a phone, so we're live streaming. The military have tried to keep the crowd back, but at this point, we've got a lot of angry people who are ready to make a stand against what they see as an extraterrestrial threat.
Superman turns his head.
Superman may be the only thing that stands between the people of Metropolis and total annihilation. But if the eyewitness reports are true, the parasite can absorb our strength, knowledge, our feelings, our essence.
Feelings? My essence.
Superman darts forward.
Rudy! Rudy Jones! I know you're still in there, Rudy!
Parasite snaps at him.
I know you remember me! And I know if you've absorbed everything about me, then you haven't just gotten my powers or my knowledge. You've gotten my heart. My love for my family and friends. My need to keep them safe. Rudy, you're a combat veteran who served with honor.
Flashback. Rudy helps a fellow soldier. He receives an award.
Proud father. One in first grade. Kaylee, right? And another on the way. I'm sorry this happened to you. But whatever else you are, Rudy, whatever you've become, I know you're still the same as me. You don't really want anyone to get hurt.
Parasite looks past Superman at the bridge. Superman turns.
Stop! All of you! He's not the alien. I am. I see the anger in you, but the truth is, you don't hate aliens. You're scared, terrified of them, even when they're not there. This man's name is Rudy Jones. He's the victim of a terrible accident. But he was born here. He's one of you.
People gape.
And so am I. I was born in the last days of a dying planet. My parents' hope was that they had sent me to a world where I would be safe and protected. But the price of that protection, silence about who and what I really am, while others like me face persecution or worse.
John looks up as he grabs Lex.
I was scared, but I'm not scared anymore.
Superman gazes down at the people on the bridge.
My name is Kal-El of Krypton, and I come in peace.
John's eyebrows raise. Lois lowers her phone. She smiles at him. He smiles back. People run away as Parasite strides forward. He stares down at a woman holding a little girl. In a flash of pink, he pictures his daughter and pregnant wife. The woman hugs her daughter as he strides up.
Die, you bastard!
People throw Molotov cocktails at Parasite. Parasite tries to grab Superman. Superman pushes against his hand. Parasite's hand glows. His veins light up. Superman goes limp and falls into the middle of the bridge. He lifts his head. Parasite's glowing veins disappear. John watches from a distance with Lex, who's tied up.
Oh, God.
Beams of yellow light shoot from the power plant. Inside, consoles beep and flash red. The circular reactor glows more and more. Cracks form in walls.
You should have let me turn the damn thing off.
John puts his hands to his temples.
Superman! The reactor!
Superman jumps into the air. He crashes into the water. Lois watches through her phone. Parasite stares at the glowing power plant. Superman emerges from the water. With effort, he flies up and towards the power plant. He falls back in the water. Parasite strides past him. He leaps forward. John is still with Lex. Parasite flies past them. He lands in front of the power plant and touches the walls. Beams of light shoot into Parasite. The reactor crackles with electricity. Parasite's veins light up. Superman haltingly flies forward. He's crying. He winces in pain. Parasite's body bulges. The reactor explodes. Parasite swells into a mass of glowing pustules. Superman lands nearby, slumped over. Parasite darkens, turning to rock. The reactor goes cold. He cracks and crumbles. Superman's eyes are wide. The entire remnants collapse in a cloud of dust that blows away. Superman watches. His face is tense. There's a large scorch mark near the cold reactor. The onlookers on the bridge watch silently. Lois lowers her phone. Superman lands near the scorch mark. He gets on his knees. He hangs his head. We drift away from the slumped figure of Superman, amidst the rubble. Later, at the Daily Planet, John stands on the roof, looking at the city. Superman floats nearby.
Is that really you this time? Or is it a telepathic trick?
John floats over.
I've apologized already. It bought me the time I needed to recuperate, so I could save your ass.
They smile.
Better.
Lobo leans nearby.
But you still sound like a dweeb.
You could have mentioned the immortality.
I like to keep people guessing.
The three of them look out at the city.
Three aliens. the last surviving members of each of our peoples.
Of course, I killed all my peoples myself, so why do I give a shit?
Superman and John exchange quizzical looks.
Nah. Just kidding. You should have seen your face, though.
Lobo strides away. He gets on his flying motorcycle.
You know those are just stories, right? Every rat bastard I hunt is the last of his people. Something you say to keep the bounty high.
Are you saying there are other Martians out there?
Hell yeah! Seen them myself. Might even be a Kryptonian or two.
Superman gapes.
Alright, ladies. I gotta take a big old space dump and I don't do it no place but my own. So, smell you later!
I really hope he doesn't come back.
John nods.
You should go. Follow him. Find your people.
John turns to Superman.
And you, Kal-El.
Lois bursts onto the roof.
It's Superman. And my people are right here.
John floats away, disappearing in a shimmer.
You couldn't meet me over by the stairs? We're losing valuable interview time.
Sorry, Miss Lane. Not today.
Superman floats up.
Call me to reschedule.
He flies away. She narrows her eyes. She gapes. A board is plastered with front pages about Superman, Lobo, Lex, and the Parasite. Lois slouches in. She hurls down her notepad. Superman flies by the office window.
Way to go, Superman!
She smirks.
So, how was the interview, Lois?
Clark peeks in.
You know what I told you about power moves, Clark? Well, I was right. They really do work. Has anybody seen my calendar?
Clark smiles and pushes the glasses up his nose. A nearby poster reads Superman. Our Man of Tomorrow. Directed by Chris Palmer. Written by Tim Sheridan. Based on characters from DC. Executive Producer Sam Register. Supervising Producer Butch Lukic. Producer Jim Krieg. Producer Kimberly S. Moreau. Music by Kevin Riepel. Editor Bruce A. King. Darren Criss as Superman. Zachary Quinto as Lex Luthor. Ike Amadi as Martian Manhunter. Eugene Bird as Ron Troop. Alexandra Daddario as Lois Lane. Brett Dalton as Parasite. Neil Flynn as Jonathan Kent. Ryan Hurst as Lobo. Piotr Michael as Perry White. Bellamy Young as Martha Kent. Credits roll. Audio description by One Extra.